Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
What's it like when one of your friends on death row is led away to be executed?
You have a prepaid call from
William A. Abura,
an inmate at the California State Prison, San Quentin. This call and your telephone number will be monitored and recorded.
I had to be a different police guy, which is the guy who walked the walkways of San Quentin death row and without a gang, without a group of people around me. It was just me.
Soon after you went into be on death row, and you didn't really understand the prison workout system so much, but then you said, we're going to do 75 sets of it. To me, that seems extreme, so I'm wondering if there's a danger of overtraining, wearing yourself out, so that you're... Welcome to Death Row Diaries. I'm Matt Ralston.
And I'm William Nogueira.
And Bill, we're going to cover another psychopath or whatever the term is that you had the unfortunate circumstance of knowing, correct?
Yeah, we're doing this case because one of our subscribers asked us to cover Skyler DeLeon, who's a former child actor. He was one of the Power Rangers, or at least one of the extras on the Power Rangers. So that's why we're doing this particular episode. And he's an interesting psychopath because, as you and I discussed before this episode started, he's a creepy little, for lack of a better word, a creepy little son of a bitch.
He's a total creep. He's a little dude. He's like a, I know you use the term cockroach quite a bit, but that's what he reminds me of.
Yeah, he's a little guy with a Napoleon complex. He likes to play the big bad Marine who, according to him, he was a sniper with all these kills and stuff. And nothing could be further from the truth. He AWOLed from the Marine Corps, and he was given a less than honorable discharge. So there's so much for the, I'm a sniper and I have 300 kills on my record. He's been lying from the moment he walked into prison or in jail, and I paid attention to him because of that reason, because he was lying from the very beginning, and that's why he needed to lock onto him.
Yeah, clearly a liar. Before we start, I would just like to again remind everyone to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Patreon at Death Row Diaries, which is the reason we're doing this episode. So his name isn't really Skyler DeLeon, is it?
No, it's not. He was born with the name John Jacobson Jr. So you could tell, he changed his name from the very beginning, as a teenager or a young adult. And it kind of gives you a peek in his psychology. He doesn't like who he is. He's never liked who he is. And that's how his life really started. His father, during his trial, his attorney put forward that his father was an abusive alcoholic and that, he died of AIDS. But to really look at this guy, we have to look at this guy from a youngster. He's not a serial killer, but he is a psychopath, and there is a difference between the two.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to wring this guy's neck, and there's only been a few cases where... I mean, obviously, I would prefer to kill all these people, but this is one that his attitude
really pisses me off.
Okay, go ahead. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, this guy really is one of those guys that he gets under your skin really quickly. He can play the docile, you know, guy who's just there because he's bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. The truth is, this guy's a killer. But he's a sneaky killer. He's not the kind of guy that will face you on a yard with a knife in his hand. He's not the guy that's going to rob you at point blank with a baseball bat. This guy is a little creep that does things when your back is turned, or he employs thugs or help to take you down. And that's exactly what happened with this case right here, which is the case of Thomas.
If I can interrupt, because I'm sensing what I sensed, and obviously I didn't know the guy personally, luckily, I'm sensing that you actually have like some malice towards this guy, because it's exactly what I'm thinking. Like, he's just a little fucker.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I knew the guy, and I saw his actions on death row. I spent nearly 40 years in California's death row at San Quentin Prison. And sometimes I pay attention to people for the obvious reasons, because they're extremely dangerous. This guy I paid attention to because his lies didn't match who he, what I was seeing. And yeah, honestly, he's the kind of guy that I really don't like. He's not the kind of guy that's going to face you. He's going to manipulate. He's going to get you in a position where someone else can harm you. And I just, for me, it's just not the kind of guy I want around me. But, you know, we're covering his case also because, you know, we're covering the case of the Hawks, who were a couple who ended up at the short end of this guy's, short-range rifle, because this guy, both of them, Jackie and Thomas Hawk, who's a former probation officer and a bodybuilder, and his wife, they put their 55-foot yacht, for sale. The yacht was called Well Deserved. And these people worked very hard to have what they had. And this guy, De Leon, saw the ad in the newspaper, or in some type of personal ads, and he answered the call. And when he showed up, from what I understand, Thomas Hawk, who has an eye for creeps because he's a probation officer or a former probation officer, he didn't like him. And he didn't like the company they kept. DeLone showed up with two guys, two accomplices. And, you know, it took a while for the Hawks to kind of trust him. They didn't trust him from the very beginning. And we learned that because one of DeLeon's crime partners turned on him and testified and gave us all this information. That's why we know, and I know, what happened the day that they met. But here is what I'm talking about when it comes to DeLeon, Matt. You know, instead of just being a straight-up guy, he brings, or he employs the help of his then-pregnant wife, who's 9 months pregnant, and she comes with their small child to the boat. And she kind of bridges that gap between who they think De Leon is and the father of this child that's going to be born and the father of the child she's holding in her arms. And this softened both Jackie and Thomas Hawk's heart, because the truth is, Matt, they were only selling this boat who they had sailed across the Pacific. They had sailed in this boat across the Sea of Cortez. And they were selling it because one of their sons was going to have a child. And they wanted to sell the boat. It was about $485,000 to buy a home close to the son to be with their grandchild.
Thank you for using Global Tel Link.
Hey, Matt.
Hey. Yeah, so, I mean, I don't really want to hang out with a parole officer, but it doesn't matter. That's the whole point of America. And these people were freedom. Well, that sounded illiterate as hell, but they were exercising their freedom, and there's something really beautiful. They were beautiful people, and they were sailing around the world on a boat, and there's something really, really great about that. And this guy had to take it away, basically.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, I don't know if I want to hang our probation officer, or I probably didn't in the past, but this guy was a good guy. Yeah. You know, he's a bodybuilder, great shape. Him and his wife loved each other very much. And this guy basically did what most perpetrators do or predators do, is they look for something, they find a way to get close, and they strike. With this guy, it really actually happened on November 15, 2004. He convinced them to take the boat out for a run. With him were his accomplices, because his wife was an accomplice, but she was not on the boat when the murder actually took place. So the people who were on the boat were actually De Leon, the two Hawks, of course, Jackie and Thomas Hawk, Alonso Machin, who was one of his accomplices, and another guy named Kennedy. And they went out, and the boat is obviously a beautiful boat. It's a 55-foot yacht. And at some point, they initiate their plan. Their plan is to take the boat. But of course, in these situations, you just can't take the boat and leave the people alive, because they're going to testify, they're going to contact law enforcement. So what De Leon do, and of course, he saw this guy's size. This guy, Thomas Hawk, is a well-developed individual. He's strong, he's quick, he's athletic, and there's no way De Leon could have taken this guy down.
Well, and he probably has a ton of experience. He probably has a ton of experience with creeps too, right?
Well, I don't know Alonso personally, because as I mentioned before, one of his accomplices turned on him, and it was Alonso. This guy was actually a cop, a correctional officer that De Leon met while he was in jail.
Oh.
How he convinced this guy to throw away his life to become a murderer, I have no idea. But he did do that. And the other guy was actually a former convict, a guy by the name of Kennedy. He had ties to different gangs. So when they took...
So I'm wondering...
They decided to initiate the plan or...
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
So, of course, when the plan was initiated, it wasn't De Leon who struck. It was the other two guys. They were the ones that initially struck, and they both tackled Thomas Hawk and tried to subdue him. De Leon, on the other hand, subdued Jackie, which was the woman.
So I'm wondering, and this is maybe a little bit of an esoteric thing, but I'm buying a sailboat right now. If any listeners, and Bill, once you get out, if you want to go sailing, I would welcome you to. But there's a saying that the two best days of your life are the day you buy a boat and the day that you sell a boat, right? So I'm wondering if maybe they were willing to put aside a little bit of their scruples because they were, you know... motivated to sell the boat. So like usually I'm assuming these two people wouldn't deal with, you know, assholes like this.
Yeah, look, and I've struggled over this thing when I started reading this case. If you have one guy and his wife come on your boat and they want to take it for a drive or for a spin, I have no problem with that. But I don't see how Thomas Hawk, being a former probation officer, a guy who's in the gym, maybe he allowed a little bit of his own ego to bolster his ability to defend his, you know, his castle. But if you took a look at De Leon, his co-defendant Kennedy, who's African-American, and Alonso, there is no way in the world that even someone like me would bring those guys on my boat with my wife and take them out to sea. It just doesn't happen.
No, I wouldn't let them on my boat either. By the way, the guy's name is John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Insert your joke there.
Right, no, absolutely. But yeah, I don't do it. I don't see what possessed him. And maybe it is that he was thinking of his grandchild that was going to be born, and that he wanted to sell the boat so he could move into a place close to his child and his grandchild.
Well, obviously. I'm assuming that
so maybe that daily, motivated. Maybe that.
Yeah, and also, so if you sell a boat, you have to do what's called a sea trial. Sorry for the listeners, this is some nerdy stuff, but you do have to take it out on the ocean, and so I'm assuming that De Leon, you know, somehow convinced them that he had the, you know, the money to buy the boat, which obviously he didn't.
Well, yes, that's exactly right. I mean, that's one of the things the Hawks talked about was, how could this guy afford this boat? It's $485,000. That's $500,000. And that's quite a bit of chunk change, especially in early 2004. Well, I'm sorry, latter part of 2004. But they went out, and when they actually assaulted Thomas Hawk, because he was the dangerous one that they had to subdue in order to take over. They never intended to take the boat and just leave them alive. So what they did was they used a knife to menace him, stab him, and then they tied both him and his wife to the anchor. And look, I don't know about you guys, but it just bugged me, because you have two people who obviously are retiring, they're very much in love with each other, and now they're being tied to an anchor and then thrown overboard. So as they went down, they're looking at each other as they're drowning. I mean, it bothered me when I first heard that.
It bothers me too, and I feel as though it's cowardly, because you're on a boat, which is like a very fixed amount of space. You know, like, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't have done that if they were on land, or if they were at a bar or something. You know, it's like, it sucks.
Yeah, it was obviously bad. And as I said, they never had the intention to let them live. So the boat returns to harbor, minus the Hawks. And that's when things started getting really kind of weird, because, you know, that was the 15th. And a week and a half, 2 weeks later is when things started getting really out of hand. On November the 26th, an attempt was made to access the Hawks' bank accounts. And, of course, that drew the attention of...
I'm gonna let you go for a while, but to get this out of the way, this was not very well thought out. This was like the dumbest fucking crime of all time, right?
Yeah, this wasn't well thought out, because they had a plan. It just wasn't a very good plan, because you know, a plan like this is only as strong as your weakest link, and they had a huge weak link that opened the door and the floodgates to finding out what really happened to the Hawks.
Mm-hmm. Can you elaborate a little bit?
Yeah, I sure can. So, obviously, someone tried from Mexico to access the accounts. When the family was notified, meaning the Hawks family was notified, they filed a missing persons report in Carlsbad, California. So the police began to inquire as to where the couple is. Now, these aren't the kind of couples that just disappear in some ways, but other ways they did disappear, because for almost a 2-year span, they were out to sea. So maybe they thought this happened. But what they come across is this kid, this piece of garbage. On November 29th, they interview Skyler De Leon. And he has a story which really raises eyebrows. The story is that he actually bought the boat. And as proof, he shows a proof of purchase. It's a document that has a notary public signature on it and a stamp. And it really throws police for a loop, because this guy seems to be the guy who bought it. and everything is in order. You
well,
have
c- correct me if I'm getting if I'm getting ahead of myself here. Maybe if they kept that document on the boat, that wouldn't. After the people aren't on the boat anymore, that would be pretty easy to forge, right?
Well, he told them that the last time he saw them, he doesn't know where they're at because he docked the boat, he paid them the $485,000, and the last time he saw them, they were in their car, headed away, and according to him, they were going to go to Mexico.
Well, how does it work with detectives? So if you have this creep, I mean, and I'm not being judgmental, but do they think that this idiot has $500,000 in cash on him or what?
Well, that's part of it, but he had also a story for that. And here it is where you think, Jesus, the guy's not very bright. The story that he gives police is that, you know what, he intended to launder money related to an armed burglary in 2002, which he had been convicted of.
Well, right there,
so
the red...
That immediately brought the police.
Yeah, the red flags are going up at that point. Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very bad story. But unless you can prove otherwise, there's really nothing you can do about it. They have a notary public who signed it. And they interview the notary public, and she says, yeah, that's exactly what happened. The hawk signed. Well, here's where things start getting a little weird. If you look at the signature, Jackie Hawks doesn't sign it Hawks. She signs it Jackie Hawk. It's obviously someone who is being forced to sign something is going to leave some type of trail, some kind of evidence if she can. I believe she was trying to notify people that she was doing so under duress. So, but still, well, entirely an open shut case.
All right. So, I mean, I've had notaries come for, you know, various things, and they seem to be pretty diligent. Like, they get your ID, whatever. I'm wondering how the situation would have went down then.
Well, I mean, it's a strange case, and one that when you want something and you're greedy, things are going to make sense to you. But as I mentioned before, De Leon had a very weak link, and that was Alonzo Mechin. And he's what makes the whole case come together for law enforcement. And I'll cover that when I get back. Hey, man.
Hey, man. Yeah, so before you elaborate, and so here's what I'm thinking. They lived on the boat, which is fine. It's like a big-ass boat. But they were probably selling it themselves. They didn't have a broker or anything. And so they're at the mercy of any kind of like weirdo that wants to just like, you know, to buy the boat, which usually I think oftentimes that might be screened out a little bit, like, hey, can I have a credit check, you know, et cetera. But anyway, I'm just like picturing myself as like being in their position and like a couple weirdos try and like come on the boat. And I would be like, hell no. But as you said, you know, I don't know. I'm sorry, I'm rambling. I'm just trying to wrap my head around it.
Yeah, well, it's a difficult case to figure out as to why Thomas Hawk would allow these guys on the boat. But from what I understand, and they are not here because obviously their bodies are never found. So they were drowned in the deepest part of, you know, that.
Well, he tied him to the anchor, right? Or something like that.
Yeah, and they were drowned that way, and their bodies were never recovered. So we'll never know why Thomas Hawks actually allowed this to actually happen. I'm sure that when they attacked him, he was probably fighting for his life because his life was at stake. I think he fought probably more for his wife than anything else, So I'm sure he would have been a handful. But they subdued him. There's three guys there. And they used the knife, as I said. And look, nothing was coming through for law enforcement. They didn't understand what was going on. They had documents. They had a purchase of sale. It's really hard to point your finger at someone unless you have something. And that's when things got interesting. Alonzo Manchin actually confessed to the crimes. And that's how everything came together. As I mentioned, he was a former correctional officer that De Leon met while he was in jail.
Do you think they were...
he put the case...
Do you think that maybe they had a sexual type of thing going on?
You know, anything is possible. I don't know that for a fact. I don't have any evidence to prove that that was going on. But of course, this case is so interesting because of what happens later with De Leon. And we'll discuss that. But Manchin put the case together for them. Subsequently, De Leon was arrested. Kennedy was arrested. His wife, who was arrested as well. But basically, these guys were all telling on each other. You know, De Leon at first says that he didn't do it. And then he basically cops to it during trial and says, look, I did do it. And he throws himself at the mercy of the trial jury in order to get a lesser sentence. But this is where things get really interesting. So listen to this. So while he's awaiting trial for murder, he's also charged with the murder that happened in December of 2003
yeah.
with a guy named Jarvie.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up. He had already murdered someone else.
He did. It was a guy who was on a work crew from jail with him, and he had a couple of $25,000 checks that De Leon wanted. So, long story short, about this case, De Leon slipped this guy's throat in Mexico, took his money, and deposited $21,000 in the couple's account because they were in debt, meaning De Leon. And he spent about $18,000 at a boatyard buying equipment. So he already had a plan to steal this boat or to steal eight boats. So this is kind of his old fantasy. But it doesn't end there. Listen to this, Matt. So while he's in jail, he's also charged with soliciting another murder. So he supposedly hires an inmate to murder his own father and his cousin. Because they were witnesses to the murder of John Jarvie, the guy he stole $50,000 from.
Oh my God.
So
I'm not...
intricate web this guy weaves, right?
Yeah, I'm actually laughing because it's so preposterous. He wants to... So then he...
No, it gets better.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, it gets better. This is the part you're going to love. So, in March 13th of 2008, De Leon, while in jail, he partially severs his penis with a razor blade. He tries to cut his penis off, and he gets medical attention, and he goes back to the jail. But that is where the kind of the cards begin to fall. The apartment building made out of cards begins to fall. And
all right, so I
get worse than this guy.
I don't want us to get canceled here, but this guy is a complete scumbag. So I think we can make fun of him, and hopefully, you know, no one gives a fuck. But so do you think this isn't? I guess we should say that he becomes a trans woman, or at least that's his. I don't know if he is or not, but he didn't look like it. But so that's his new thing, right?
Yes, he obviously gets sentenced to death by a judge in 2008 for the three murders, the murders of the Hawks and of John Jarvie. And he's sentenced to death and sent to San Quentin death row, where I have the misfortune of running across this guy. And as I said, he was from the very get-go bragging about being a Marine sniper with 300 kills.
All bullshit.
No, come on, Matt. You know me well enough to know that if someone tells me a story, I'm going to confirm whether it's true or not. And I immediately found out he was a dropout.
Well, brother, if you and I were AWOL. Yeah, if we were hanging out, I guarantee you if we were sitting at a bar having a beer and someone volunteered the information that they were a sniper that killed whatever hundreds of people, I'd be like, well, that's bullshit. Like, that would be my default thing about that.
Yeah, I don't like guys that sit there, you know, little guys from Napoleon complexes that brag about being servicemen who have 300 kills with enemy. It just didn't jive to me. And then I began to dig. I began to dig from afar because he and I were not on the same yard, but I could see him very, he was a couple feet from the yard I was on. He was on a protective custody yard where I was on one of the normal death row yards. Mm-hmm. And he immediately began this story about being Marine. When that one didn't catch, he began this transition to be trans woman.
As someone who, like, your bullshit detector based on, you know, your unfortunate life experience is probably more so than anyone else, but so you immediately knew he was full of shit, I'm assuming.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, I'm not a sniper. I've never been a sniper. I'm not a serviceman. I've never served in the armed forces. But from age 4, I've been hunting. And one of the things that I carried was different rifles, 30-06, 30-30, shotguns. Everything you can think of, I've shot. So I asked, as I said, we weren't on the same yard, but he was right next to my yard. And I was getting interested to try and figure these people out. He's not a serial killer, which is my expertise, but he at least got under my radar. And I asked him a few questions about sniper rifles, bolt action, semi-automatic. And one of the things that I ask people when they say they have hunted, they've done this, is really, what kind of grain did you use for your rifle? Or how many grams? What kind of grain did you use? 150 grain, 160 grain? Most people that load their own shells or bullets know about grams and grains. That means how many grains in each bullet.
Well, I wouldn't.
Depending on the grain.
I wouldn't be able to answer that, but I'm also not claiming to know about it.
Yeah, it deals with the projectile and a number of different things. So I asked specific questions about a 308, you know, the bolt action, how the lever worked. He couldn't answer it. It's like me asking you about a sailboat and asking, well, what is the sail made out of? And you don't know what it's made out of.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So there's little things that people that do certain things know about that should know. If someone told me they surfed and they told me they couldn't tell me what kind of boar, was it an eagle tail, was it a swallow tail, was it a pintail, if they couldn't tell me, I know he's full of shit.
Oh, dude, I asked it.
That's one of the things I've heard.
I heard a guy telling me that he surfed, and I said, where do you surf? And he said, the beach. I was like, this guy's never surfed.
Right, see?
Yeah.
Exactly. So, there you go. So with this guy, it was that. And then he began to transition. He contacted the...
Wait, hold on. I'm sorry. We have to set this up a little bit. He began to transition with his gender, right?
He did. And again, no one knew this at the time, but he contacted the mental health department. And that's one of the things the California Department of Corrections does, which, look, you guys can sue me if you like, but it's not going to get you anywhere. I just don't agree with it. If you are in prison and you decide to turn into a guy, a girl, whatever you turn into, I think you forfeit that right. And taxpayers shouldn't be forced to pay for this kind of stuff when, in fact, you've forfeited everything else. Okay, so
well, what if he did it before?
They are paying.
What if he did it before? Would you feel differently?
Well, if he did it before, it's his business. He's a private citizen; he can do whatever he wants to, right? Mm-hmm. But once he becomes a prisoner, I believe the taxpayers are already burdened enough with feeding people in prison, myself included. It costs $107,000 a year to house someone in prison. That's a lot of money. that could be spent on children's education. But now we're overburdening the system with paying for transgender operations. And there's a number of guys on death row who did it. They actually got their penises cut off, they turned into a trans woman, and were sent to a woman's prison. So, one of the things that Skyler De Leon, who's now his name, is he's changed it again. It's now Skyler Preciosa.
Oh my God, he's such a fucking asshole.
Precious or beautiful. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
Anyways, he begins to take hormone, and he grows breasts. He grows his hair long. He starts wearing makeup on the yard. Wears a dress to the yard.
But so did you witness this personally, the transformation or whatever you want to say about it?
Absolutely. He was a few feet from me every day in the yard. I'd see him. His hair began to grow. He began to grow breasts. Everything. His features softened. There's a lot of hormones these guys are taking. Every day a nurse comes to his cell, the mental health department comes to his cell, he buys makeup, he buys all this stuff to transition into a woman. And another one, a transgender woman that was on death row for murdering children, his name was Han, and now it's Jessica Han. You figure, right? But he actually went through the whole operation. And the bill is flipped by taxpayers. So once he did this, he told everybody that he was not interested in men, that he still loved women. So he was actually gay, because if he was a woman and he liked women, therefore he's a lesbian. I mean, I'm putting you guys through some mental.
It's actually a pretty, and I think, Bill, you know what side I'm on. It is a pretty interesting philosophical thought exercise, isn't it?
You have 60 seconds remaining.
Yeah, it is. It's something like Kate Jenner or Caitlyn Jenner did. He's or she's a transgender woman who still likes women, so she says that she's actually gay, so she is a lesbian because she's a woman and she's interested in women. Okay, so wrap your head about that, and when I call you back, I'll finish up with what I know about this.
I'll also give you my thoughts once we wrap it up. But all right, I'll talk to you in a second.
Yeah. Exactly. He's transitioning. I don't know if he's going to go with the rest of the surgery or the process, because I left death row on February 22nd, 2003, which was this year, and now at Corcoran State Prison, which is a facility that's a level 2. I am at a medium security prison rather than a high security prison, which is death row. And so I don't know what the outcome was, but while he was there, I saw the transition. I saw over time the enlargement of his breast, his face softened.
Well, did
he
got his
really long hair, he wore makeup.
Did his demeanor shift after that? Because I'm like, even if you or I were to shoot up estrogen, I'm assuming, like, maybe my mood would change.
Well, yeah, but he did begin to act. Well, I'm not sure if he began. He always acted a bit feminine to me. But now he was on full display. He pranced around the yard like a young adolescent girl. Look, I'm not one of those guys. I'm like a bull in a china room when it comes to talking about this stuff, so I don't talk about it. It happens to be a case that one of our subscribers wants me to talk about, so here I am. So, but I'm not the most politically correct person. So
no, you're just describing your own experience. There's nothing politically incorrect about that whatsoever.
Yeah, well, he pranced. He, you know, danced around the yard. It was just ridiculous. And then, like I said, I notice that he starts making out with other guys in the yard. So I'm sitting there watching this stuff, and a couple of guys just said, "Hey, man, take a look at that." And I'm like, "Yeah, I don't want to look at that, but I see what it is." He's having these, like, teenage frolics with guys in the yard. They're out there kissing, they're holding hands. And when the person that he is supposed or she is supposedly seeing stays inside, De Leon runs over to another guy and starts making out with him and stuff. It's just a really weird situation.
It is really weird.
Take long for Go ahead, Matt.
Well, it is weird. And I know there's a lot of stereotypes about prison, you know, like, you know what they are. So is this guy like, he's now like the hottest thing on the block type of thing?
Hey, I guess for that yard, hey, different strokes for different folks, but he was out there and it wasn't long till the sexual favors started happening. And, you know, you don't have to be looking at him, constantly watching him to see what happens in the yard. I can look at a yard for 3 seconds and tell you exactly what's going on out there. And pretty soon, he starts, you know, giving favors to these guys, meaning oral copulating them and a bunch of other stuff and sexual intercourse. And, of course, the fights break out. And this is what drew my attention, was because that guy's boyfriend, if that's what you want to call him, he gets knocked out by another inmate who now is interested in De Leon. And of course, De Leon loves this stuff because he's the center of attention. It's a really creepy situation, but look, you guys wanted to know about this case. This is what I know about. This is what you're not going to get in the news, is what I'm telling you right now. He wasn't still interested in women. He was interested in men. And on many occasions, I saw it firsthand, him out there performing all kinds of sexual acts on other guys.
Oh, my God. And so you were saying, because I did watch an interview with him, but so he's like a petite little guy, right?
Well, I mean, I don't know. He's kind of a chubby little...
Well, I don't know.
You're right, you kept... Incorrect. He's a chubby little girl. That's what he is now.
All right. So I guess, Bill, maybe we touched on it, but I don't think that the taxpayers necessarily... Well, in fact, I'll just come out and say it. Fuck this. I don't want to pay taxes on this. I mean, if you want to transition in your personal life, to me, that's okay. But you can tell that this is a manipulative person. So, of course, he's going to manipulate whatever he can. Right.
Yeah, I don't know that if changing into a woman is part of manipulation. Maybe that's who he is. But again, my problem is with taxpayers paying this type of money to have this type of surgery because of mental health reasons. And the LGBTQ people have now made this into a mental thing, which they were fighting for years. They're saying, look, people that are transgender, people who are gay, are not mental cases. We're perfectly normal people. We have different viewpoints and different tastes. Hey, great. But now in prison, they're using this as a mental side of this thing, psychological, and they need psychiatrists and need all these things to make sure they really want to go through a transition. But the bill is flipped by the taxpayer. Anybody that said it's not is full of shit.
Yes, and agreeing with you, it's a logical fallacy. So if it's completely normal, okay, I'll buy that. But you're not going to get treatment that way. So if... I mean, this has never happened before in the history of the world, okay? So really nothing against the transgender community whatsoever. Please be yourself. I respect that. But when you're... You can't have it both ways, right? If you're going to claim that this is a psychological problem, then you can't expect someone to treat it differently. Does that make sense?
Well, absolutely, but they can. Here's my position on it. Simple. If you're a person, man or woman, and you are not comfortable with who you are, I'm perfectly fine with that. If you want to transition to a man or a woman, if you have different, if you're just different, you're queer, you're gay, it doesn't matter. Great. Fantastic. You should be treated like everybody else. You should be equally, have every opportunity in the world. I agree with all those things. My catch is, once you, a woman or a man or whatever you want to become, fine. Wait till you get out. I don't want to pay for, and I do pay taxes, so I don't want to pay for someone changing gender in prison and expects the state of California to pay for those. It's not going to happen in my watch. I just don't like it. I don't want it. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners probably agree with that. would they agree with me that if a person wants to change, that's perfectly fine. You could be whoever you want to be, fine. But when you forfeit your rights because you've committed a crime over whatever you've done, then you have to wait. You know, it's like me. I would like to be an astronaut. They're not going to send me to the freaking moon tomorrow. I'm in prison. So, you know what I mean? And as far as identifying, I identify with billionaires. My bank account hasn't grown either. So,
well, it almost is like an indulgent thing. Like, I'm never going to go to prison. Knock on wood. I'm pretty sure I'm not. But, you know, could I say, hey, I'm a sailor. Buy me a fucking boat? I mean, it's verging on that level of ridiculousness.
Exactly. And I just don't agree with it. So, hey, sue me if you want. I just don't think you're going to get anywhere with it. Scudder De Leon is a homicidal maniac. He's a pathological liar, and he's a psychopath. Now, I'm sure people are going to say, well, Bill, God, you're in prison for murder as well. And you, yeah, that's why I'm doing these podcasts. This is my way to pay
well,
my debt.
Well, that's not.
I believe I owe a debt.
You're being humble, Bill. That's not even close to the same thing.
Well, I appreciate that, but the truth of the matter is that someone's always going to say that, and I agree, but I'm not asking to be an astronaut and be sent to the moon. I'm not asking to be a sailor for the state to buy me a boat. I'm doing my time and doing the best I can with it. This guy is just continuing to live a lie, and I'm watching him. And I watched them, and this is why I know more about these guys than anybody else does, because I lived with them. Scudder De Leon is a psychopath, and he's got some serious issues. Well, at least now, the state of California is actually, in some ways, supporting his psychopathic thought process.
Well, and not to mention, I guess we have to mention now, even though we got to wrap it up, he probably wants to be sent to a women's prison, which you don't have to be a fucking psychic to understand the issues that could come from that, do you?
Well, exactly. Well, there is, as I mentioned, another inmate named Han who actually did the complete surgery and became a trans woman, and she was sent to a women's prison, and that bill cost the state of California in upwards of $250,000.
Yeah, well, I don't know that case, but maybe like a serial rapist shouldn't be sent to a women's prison if they enjoy raping women. I don't know. Seems pretty obvious to me.
Yeah. I don't know, but hey, there's people in higher positions and more power than me that are making these decisions, and all I gotta say is, yeah, they're screwing up badly.
Yeah. Well, fuck that guy. I hate him. Sorry, that might have... 1, 2, 3. Well, yeah, it's...
Call and your telephone number will be monitored and recorded.
Well, it's an interesting story, nonetheless. I hope it's monitored, and we'll keep an eye on it. Until next time, I've been Matt Ralston.
And I'm William McGarry. Be safe, be aware of your surroundings, your life could depend on it. We'll see you next time.
Nice. Hold on, let me set this. Yeah, hold on. Let me...